Do what, Sam? All right, we are in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19 this afternoon. There's two cameras on there. Yeah, I'm trying it. Exodus 19. So the Lord is going to make out of the nation of Israel a holy nation. And after they've been wandering in the wilderness for a little bit, they go to Sinai. And this is the same place that Moses was a shepherd for his father-in-law. So there's a few things there's a few things that go on in this chapter that are pretty clear, and then another thing that I had a little bit of trouble with trying to figure out what was the issue. I think I got it figured out here. So Exodus 19, let's read, I don't know, maybe the first eight verses, kind of get the layout here. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. That'll show up again later in the Bible. And a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, one more verse, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. All right, so Moses is essentially a go-between at this point. He gets the words of the Lord. He comes down and tells the people, comes back, talks to the Lord a little bit more, and he's kind of going back and forth. There's three things in this whole chapter that deal with the desire of the Lord to make a holy nation out of the people. And so that's what we're gonna look at this afternoon. Let's pray, and we'll talk about that in this chapter. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand what we're reading, help us make sense of it, help us make applications that need to be made with it. And Lord, that you would just have liberty to feed your flock, to take these words and feed us the way we need to be fed. Thank you so much for the words of God. Thank you for this opportunity to open them up freely and learn from them. And I pray you'd help us with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so they go, they wander around. Israel wanders and lands at Sinai. And Sinai, like I said, this is the place where Moses used to keep his father-in-law's flock. And so now he's back to this place. Yes, there's another woodpecker back here. So I can hear it. Y'all can hear it. Got it. It's there. That's what you're hearing. And of course, he decides to start whenever we start talking, as soon as we start. So yeah, good timing. Perfect timing. So, all right, now that that's out in the open, we all know what's happening. So, Exodus 19, you got the Israelites that get to Mount Sinai, where Moses was as a shepherd before. And the Lord gives them information, gives them a word there, and he takes it back to the people, tells the people what God's desire is, that if they would obey the Lord, obey the words of the Lord, God wants to make them a holy nation and a kingdom of priests, and essentially become a light to all nations. That's the idea. And so God reminds them first, in these first few verses we read, verses 1 through 8, he reminds them of his deliverance. And there's, again, so much in these beginning books like Genesis and Exodus that becomes a theme that is played out all through the Bible. So the first thing the Lord mentions in this is how he delivered him out of Egypt. And he says that in verse 3, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. So the way he describes that deliverance is he bore the nation on eagle's wings. That's the illustration. That's the picture. That's the type. Now that shows up a few times in the Bible going forward. And I'm not going to show you every single verse, but I will remind you of a couple of them. The next time this really shows up, there's a place in Deuteronomy, but then in the book of Ruth, if y'all remember the book of Ruth, Ruth takes care of Naomi, comes back to Judah and Bethlehem and takes care of Naomi. And Boaz notices that Ruth, as an outsider, has come to trust in the God of Israel. That's what she's doing. That's the way that she's behaving. And one of the things that Boaz says of Ruth, this Moabite lady, he says, you've come to trust in the wings of the Lord, something like that. I think it's Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, somewhere in there. But to trust under his wings. And so he's playing off of this description that God himself has laid out with Moses and the nation right at the beginning. That's in Ruth. Isaiah has a good one. In fact, we can look at that one. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. This is a pretty good cross reference to it. But Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a good thought there. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's, again, going back to what you just read in Exodus 19, how the Lord says, I delivered you essentially on eagle's wings. And so you come to trust in the Lord, and he says, they wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as eagles, they'll run, not be weary, walk, and not faint. Good thing there. Then all the way at the end of the Bible, here's one more cross-reference just to show you how this theme plays out throughout the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. John said it this way, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So that's not exactly what we're looking at in Exodus, but the reference and the symbolism is the same about God's deliverance comes as eagle's wings, and it delivers the nation from wickedness and bad folks and stuff like that. So God reminds him of his deliverance, and then he tells what his desire is. He explains what his desire is. Back over in Exodus 19. He says in verse 5, Now therefore, If ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So the Lord is going to give them some instruction, and the instruction is going to be good, how to conduct their nation. And so the point is, if you'll listen to me, and if you'll follow my directions, you will become a peculiar people. Not weird necessarily, but peculiar in the sense that you'll be like God. You will have God's characteristics in your nation. And so, not only that, you'll be a kingdom of priests. You will be a peculiar treasure. And some of these themes even start showing up later. For instance, some of the parables about the treasure that's hid, and then the nation, kingdom of priests, Peter talks about that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 9. And there is a little condition there. If you'll obey me, then you'll become this. That's the condition. If you'll obey my words, you'll become this. And so, again, that theme plays out over and over, even all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 1. John says he's washed in his blood and made us a kingdom of priests and things like that. And so it isn't really the Lord's desire with the nation isn't that he would create a military superpower. It isn't that he would create this nation full of wealth. Not that he's not going to necessarily do those things. But his chief desire with his people is to create a holy nation. A people that are holy. And that's what God wants. So he's got his deliverance. He reminds him of that. He reminds him of his desire. Tells Moses, "This is what I'm looking for." And the people hear all of this. Moses goes back down to the elders and tells them this, and they say, "Good, we'll do that. We will listen. We will do what God says, and we will be that holy nation." Well, that remains to be seen. So, the royal priesthood, this is the description of the nation. The second part of this chapter, God's going to speak and give some directions. But before he even speaks, he's going to expect the people to prepare themselves to hear what he's about to say. So it's not just like you just show up, God says some things, you say okay, and you go back. The Lord is going to say, look, you're going to prepare yourselves for 3 days. And then when I come in and I speak to you, you're going to be prepared to hear what I'm about to say. So this is God's powerful approach to this. It's really preparation to hear God. And there's good, really good application in this. But let's see what it says first. In chapter 19, verse 10, the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves." That's something Paul would say a few times. "Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. That's how they're going to sanctify them. It's basically, take a bath, wash your clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." So no intimate activity for 3 days, which is very similar to what Paul's going to say in 1 Corinthians. He says, about marriage and marital relationships. He says, except you give yourself to fasting, you separate for a while, give yourself to fasting. And that the idea is you're going to prepare yourself to hear something from God. And that's something about fasting, just not in this lesson, but a side note here about it. Oftentimes, fasting is not just about the food, but it's about denying all of the pleasures of life. You see people put on sackcloth, they wouldn't even be comfortable, and so they would make themselves uncomfortable in preparation and in humility to hear what God said. They're trying to hear what God said, and so they deny themselves pleasures, not just of food, but just general, all the pleasures of life, in order to hear what God says. So back here in Exodus, the Lord says, prepare the people, tells Moses, prepare the people. Number one, sanctify them, get them clean. And that's what they do. They wash themselves, they wash their clothes, get clean. Second thing is, set up a boundary around the mountain. You need to set up a boundary. And they do that. I don't know if it's like a ditch or something. I don't know what all they do, but they set up some kind of boundary so people don't get close to the mountain. Don't touch it. Don't climb on it. All that stuff. So set up a boundary. He tells them, stay away from the mountain. And they set up a physical border to keep people away from the mountain. And then that intimate activity is prohibited for 3 days. In preparation, so you can hear from God. And so these three things, this is how God says to Moses, prepare the people. This is to get the people prepared to hear. And there's some good application for us. I mean, there are ways to listen to the Lord, and there are ways to not listen to the Lord. And people... I mean, I don't know how many folks come to church here or come to church at other churches, and people feel got all kinds of stuff on their mind, you know, when they come to church, thinking about all kinds of stuff. And there are people who come and they're ready to, they want to hear something, and then there are folks that come and they're not ready to hear, and they're not interested in hearing, and so they don't hear anything. The point is, you have to prepare yourself and make it a point. If you're going to hear something from God, you need to be prepared to hear something from God. And this is what the Lord's doing. And this is a process that's going to take 3 days to do, so that when the Lord shows up and he speaks, the people will listen and they'll hear it. And they won't be distracted by anything. They won't be occupied with other stuff. So that's the second point. He's described the nation he wants, reminded them of his deliverance, described what he's looking for in the nation, and then told Moses, now prepare the people to hear. And then it gets a little weird, because I don't understand the last part of it. Because Moses goes down and he does this. Verses 14 and 15, which we read, he sanctifies the people. He said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, like a volcano or something, I guess. And so, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a volcano. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze at many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. All right. I didn't understand all of this at first. I think I got it now. But the Lord and Moses are kind of having a little argument here. And what was thought to be, okay, the Lord's going to speak now. And he's going to give us instructions. And the only thing the Lord does with Moses is he says, you need to keep the people away from the mountain. And Moses says, well, they're not coming to the mountain because we've already set up boundaries. And the Lord's going to tell him at the end of this, verse 24, and the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down. So he goes down again unto the people and spake unto them. So after all the thunders and lightnings and the fire and all this, the Lord comes down to Moses and says, hey, get the people away from the mountain. That's all he says. And Moses says, well, they're not supposed to be coming to the mountain because we've already set up these barriers. And the Lord says, go back down and tell the people, stay away from the mountain. And that's all he says. And so he goes back down. And so this little exchange here not necessarily unnecessary, but when the Lord shows up on day three here, it shows apparently the people's curiosity has got the best of them. He knows they're very tempted to try to see kind of what's going on in the smoke or something, and so like the Wizard of Oz thing. So their curiosity has really got the best of them, and when the Lord's about to speak, he doesn't give them instruction yet. He just tells Moses, look, go back down there and tell them stay away from the mountain. And so you have a whole chapter here where all this build up to, okay, we're gonna get something good from God. He's gonna tell us what we need to do. We're all sanctified and separated and ready to hear. And then the instruction comes, get back from the mountain. And that's it. Just get back from the mountain. And so a couple things that are really, really perfectly in line with people and us. This curiosity and just not trusting what the Lord says is so prevalent among us as people and all that. And this isn't the first time the people have made the Lord a little bit frustrated about what's going on. It is. And he's about to give them to them, but it's like, you're going to make another trip down there because you need to remind these people, stay away from the mountain. So yeah, the Ten Commandments come in the next chapter, but you have this little back and forth with Moses because the nature of the people is such, they're not going to listen. They're like Shirley said, the intention is there. They want to know what's going on. Maybe I can see some of these guys that were maybe elders or, you know, kind of asking, why is Moses the guy that gets to go talk to the Lord? Why aren't we going with him? And maybe I don't trust Moses. Maybe I don't know what he's going to say. Maybe I need to go up there with him. And so the Lord's like, keep these people away. They are not the ones I'm going to talk to. I'm talking to the prophet. I'm talking to Moses. You're the mediator between me and them. And you're the one I'm going to talk to. And so there's few things probably going on there. Their curiosity, maybe some people's pride is involved, and they think they should be the ones going there and hearing from God. But this is perfectly in line with everything else that's happened. You've had the manna. You've had them make God mad with the manna, and they're collecting stuff after 6 days. there's been multiple things go on, and you're not even to getting the law yet. You haven't even got to the point where the Lord's going to give them the tables of stone or any of that stuff. And so all of this said, it's in perfect comparison. The beginning of the chapter, you've got God saying, I want to create a holy nation with people who will listen to my voice. And before the chapter's over, you've got people who aren't going to listen. And they have to be told multiple times, stay away, stay away, stay away, stay away. I told you to stay away, stay away. So one final warning at the end of the chapter. And like Alan said, yeah, the next chapter is going to be the Ten Commandments. It's the whole next chapter. But you have this back and forth. And no wonder Moses was so irritated all the time, having to go back and forth, having to mediate, having to talk to the Lord and then go to the people and talk to the people and try to judge between the people and all that kind of thing. And so you've got a good description in this chapter, really, of God's intention with the nation, but also what he's dealing with in the sense of the people. I mean, this is what he's dealing with. And already, there's a couple things at work. In this chapter, you can already see some of the desire of God to make a holy nation, you can see some of the elements of the new covenant starting to just, the undercurrent of that starting to show up. God wants people who obey him. That's what he's looking for. I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. It's fine to pay. If you get a speeding ticket, it's fine to pay the speeding ticket. But I would rather you never got a speeding ticket. Just don't get the ticket. And so obedience is better than sacrifice. And so you start to see some of the elements of this new covenant already showing up at the beginning. And not only that, the problems within the nation that are going to persist throughout the nation in the Old Testament as the nation grows and is blessed and put in the promised land, all those things, the characteristics of the people are just not going to change that much. And so all of that said, this Exodus 19, right before the Lord's going to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. He's got a little arguing to do with Moses and the people. So anyhow, that's 19. Good little summary of it. You see a holy nation that God's trying to bring forth. That's what he's trying to do. And so with that said, we'll wrap that up. And there's the woodpecker again. So perfect timing. All right. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, and I pray what we go over is helpful to learn the Bible, just learn what we're reading, what in the world are we looking at here, and also to make the applications that need to be made, that ultimately you're looking for and looking to create a holy nation, holy people. People who listen to you, people who obey your words, and that's what you're trying to make. And so I pray that come through as well. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.